This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Behind the scenes, behind the glass, there's no sports, it's Matt and Matt. Who happen to be homies, just chilling on the junkies, yeah. It's bit season, what a time to be alive. Bit season, couple of regular guys. It's bit season, go have yourself a laugh. It's bit season, ha 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 ha.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to Bit Season. I'm Drab T-Shirt.
I'm Matt Valdez.
I believe this is episode 77. All 77 episodes.
That's a very good question.
Probably not.
I'm going to say 7%.
7%? All right, that's a good...
You know what? Tweet us. Tweet us at Bit Season if you've listened to all 77 episodes. And then give us your ranking. 1 through 77.
It always weird to me, and you know what? It's going to go great into the bike topic today. When people say, "Oh, that was the best episode ever," and I think to myself,
I don't know,
that one was all right, you know, like. But then yeah, the other ones where I think they were awesome and nobody comments on them.
That happens all the time. Oh, I shouldn't say all the time. That's kind of a humble brag, but it happens. They go, "Dude, when you said X." That had me dying. I was slayed. And I go, I don't even remember saying that.
Hey,
I usually nod and I say, thank you, man. I try.
But that actually, to be honest, happened to me the other day.
Doesn't it happen a lot?
I had to think about what this guy was talking about.
Yeah, like what segment was, what were we talking about?
And it's always something that's like
stupid.
You think you have like a killer zing and nobody acknowledges it. And then you throw some throwaway thing like floozies. I said floozies today on the show. And Cakes has brought it up to me like 7 times about how much he loved it when I said floozies.
I guarantee you from now until Monday, someone will say, hey, when you talked about flop shots with those Golden Girls, granny topless golf league, that had me dying. But I'll forget about it. We're on to the next zing.
Hey, so this just popped into my head, and I do want to talk about it before I forget. And obviously, the bike segment is the segment of the week. But
oh yeah,
so something happened after the show today that I'm hoping gets brought up tomorrow. Lurch said, "I'm going to Philadelphia this weekend for Trace McSorley's wedding."
I completely forgot that was this weekend, but he has been talking about it a lot.
So Trace getting married this weekend.
Yes.
And I heard Lurch say something like, that's a long drive.
Mm-hmm. It's really not that long of a drive.
Then I was thinking, Lurch was late to my wedding. So I was thinking, there's no way in hell that Lurch would drive to Phil. But Lurch is so obsessed with Trace McSorley. And
he's willing to drive.
He's driving
3 hours.
3 hours and spending the night in a hotel in Philadelphia.
I have to imagine these hotels aren't cheap if it's Trace McSorley's wedding.
No, of course not.
Right.
And it's going to go late into the night.
You know why? I'll tell you exactly why he's going.
Why is he going to Philadelphia?
Because at the end of the day, Jason is a star effer.
Okay.
And Gasecki and McSorley Pictures. And he's ready to smoke cohibas with Saquon at the end of the ceremony.
And how is he going to wiggle his way into these conversations? Because that's what I heard him say. He goes, I'm hanging out with Saquon this weekend. And I'm like, Saquon's not even going to acknowledge you.
Can you imagine that? Hey, Saquon,
but that's
a big fan.
But that's no. Lurch will find a way.
No. This is Jason's
100%.
This is Jason's Super Bowl, because not only is he star effing these athletes, it's also rich people.
Yeah.
So you have that combo. It's this cornucopia that Jason is so drawn to that he's willing to drive.
But is he gonna say
is Jason Bishop the poorest person at this wedding?
No, of course not. I mean, this is Trace McSorley, the poorest person. No, okay.
So Jason's obviously. So here's the problem: is that it's going to be going. It's got to be heading into the night, right?
Of course, yeah. And probably get over at midnight.
Yeah, and Jason's a sleepy crybaby.
Well,
how is he going to get the liquid courage and approach these NFL stars to go have a conversation with him?
Because first off, he thrives in these situations, right?
Where he's the ultimate social butterfly,
right? Where he's got a cocktail in his hand and he's schmoozing with people. He's very good in those situations.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, he only fakes like he has to go to bed if he's not interested in something. Okay, like on the weekends, if he's partying with rich people or he's sitting on the wood with billionaire Philadelphia 76er people or whatever he's doing, he's not going to bed at 7 o'clock.
Yes, he can stay up.
Right.
Exhibit A is softball coaching. So
100%. Something that he's into. But that's a reminder. We have to bring that up tomorrow on the show. All right, we have to ask him about his plans in Philadelphia, because by next Thursday, I would have forgotten about this.
Also, you know what you're forgetting is, remember Jason went up to that Sixers game and was on U Street or whatever.
Yeah, he went to the gay bar.
Yeah, he went to the gay bar and everything. So he does have friends up there. So it's going to be a whole weekend of schmoozing, I feel like.
You're right. By the way, Clary's not here. Stallion's not here, if you can tell.
You'll notice, because Drav said four things that have been funny so far, there hasn't been a laugh.
So Stallion, Stallion's trying to figure some things out. We hope
he can return.
Yeah, he's got other commitments with some other shows that he's working on, other podcasts. He's got a lot on his plate. We hope that I think Stallion's gone. I'm gonna be honest with you. I think Stallion's gone. He wants to be involved, but he just got so much going on. And then we
can't really pay him.
You can't pay someone if you're not getting paid yourself.
So I don't know. Drab floated this idea about having an American Idol type contest. Who wants to be our laugh track?
Because let's break it down, and then now we're breaking down the fourth wall.
This is behind the glass. Okay. All right. This is the Inception radio.
So a lot of people love Stallion on the show, love his stories, and I love him. I get a kick out of him.
I get a kick out of his unbridled enthusiasm.
But I also love Ryan the person as well, so I just like having him around. But there's other people who say that his laugh is a distraction on the show.
Really?
But people have said that. We've told Stallion. I'm not telling anything that he doesn't know. That his laugh is a distraction on the show.
But I find it comforting.
Okay, but here's what you need to know. It's gasoline for Valdez and I. It keeps us going.
Yeah, I know.
Because otherwise we think we're boring.
And yeah. Trust me, I've looked over at the clock 5 times already, and it's only been 7 minutes.
And if Stallion's in here, we're always like, oh my God, that flew by. That was that segment went 40 minutes. Holy cow.
Stallion has this gift to make you feel like Richard Pryor.
He does. And Cakes is that way on the Junkies. Cakes obviously adds more to the Junkies, but Cakes, well, is an automatic laugh.
Yeah. It feels like you're doing your job.
Brett has always said that about Cakes, right? That if Brett won't call in anymore if Cakes isn't there.
Yeah.
Because Cakes.
Oh, trust me, when Cakes is on vacation, you'll rarely hear me talk.
Yeah, because you're just setting yourself up to bomb.
Yeah, for Eric to go, what?
So Valdez, and I floated this to Valdez, but I didn't really go through it. So if Stallion has to leave the show, which is a strong possibility, we're finding out.
We're still grasping at straws that he might return.
How can we have... We need someone else in here to laugh at what we're saying. Yeah. I don't know how these two-man shows do it.
Stallion is... He's a solid third mic, but he's the number one mic for the laugh.
Yeah.
And he's got, I like his laugh.
All right, let's go over some possible names.
Replacements,
okay?
Okay.
People that the Junkies audience would have heard their names before.
Okay. All right, so we're just, this is our list of candidates.
Yes.
And if you know what? Record your laugh today. Send it in to us so we can sample it.
All right. Okay. I'm going to throw these names out at you.
Okay.
Richmond John.
Richmond John? Well, Richmond John has sat in before.
He has.
So he has a leg up, I feel like, on any other applicant.
And I believe he has a Comrex.
And he has a Comrex.
Doesn't he? Haven't we dialed into him before?
Might have. Might be.
All right. Richmond John.
You know how bitter the Junks would be if we host a show and one person's on a Comrex and they can't be on Comrex.
Roger the Engineer.
Okay. But I feel like Roger wouldn't laugh.
He giggles. He does this weird...
He wouldn't laugh at our humor. Okay. I think he nervously laughed.
It's a nervous laugh.
Yes, that's what it is.
All right.
What is AWOD available? We could go back to our roots.
AWOD's show starts at noon in Richmond, so it's he's prepping for his show.
Okay.
Believe me, I'd love that. What about Denton Day?
I like Denton, but is Denton too sportsy?
He's very sportsy, but
I get thrown off by his attire.
I know.
It kind of distracts me.
I don't know if Valdez likes Denton because of his weird attire. He hasn't figured it out.
I like Denton the person, but Denton the fashionista, no. It's a very distracting look he has.
What about
Michael Marr?
Michael Marr starts at noon on the show on 980. I like Michael Marr a lot. Very sports heavy, though.
I know. That's what
But he loves gambling.
This is what I like.
But he also loves drinking.
He would fit in a perfect replacement for Stallion. But this is why, because Michael will gas you up.
You know what I mean?
He makes you feel good about yourself.
A lot of fist bumps.
Because Stallion makes you feel good with laughing. I don't know if that would be the same with Michael.
Hey, Michael, that's a strong possibility.
It's a strong suggestion.
Yeah.
Hey, what about Pete Haley?
Well, Pete Haley's our white whale.
Explain that. What do you mean?
Pete's our dream third mic. But not as a laugh track, but as actual content creator. We vibe well with Pete.
I'm gonna tell you something.
But he's already on another podcast.
Drab's been trying to pitch midday shows with me and Pete Haley to different program directors.
I don't know if that. I always said that Pete could host a show here, and I stick by that. There's a lot of talented people here. I'm not trying to replace anybody, but
I know,
a dream scenario.
I'm joking, but a lot of people don't get.
Yeah,
that.
Yeah. You have to spell it out for people. A dream scenario someday.
Yeah, we would be the Junkies 2.0.
You know who's always said that they would want to host a podcast and it's about life and shtick and all that kind of stuff?
Who works here? Or?
No. P1.
P1?
Yeah.
Who's that?
D Woods.
Oh, D Woods would be a great. D has asked to come in for bit season.
He has. And he's actually calling into the junkies for 20.
I actually think D Woods zoomed right to the top of the list.
Now, here's why I like D Woods. Because he gives the listener perspective of
the
junkies.
That's true, too.
We're given the behind the scenes.
Yes. And sometimes we can be trapped in our own cocoon.
Right. Because me and you know each other so well. We know what each other's thinking. And we're already agreeing on topics a lot of times.
And plus, he can be Bit Season's Robin Quivers.
Right. Because all these ones use racist jokes.
That's untrue. Don't get me.
The Stallion would have laughed at that.
Yeah, the Stallion would have laughed.
I like D Woods. I don't know what these guys do in their regular jobs, though. If they're listening to the junkies from 6 to 10, they got to be doing something else the rest of the day.
You know, D Woods has to have free time if he's listening to all 77 episodes.
You know what? But he may be taking an hour on Thursdays and not out of the realm of possibility for him. And I think he lives in D.C.
Does he know how to set up the podcast?
No. We'd pass that off to somebody else. Oh. He'd be coming in as strictly talent. Yeah, we also need a producer. Valdez and I, we don't like doing all the editing.
Well,
here's the thing,
like it's finally we get to be the talent.
Right. Yeah. It's our time to shine.
Yeah. And then you get bumped back down to coach when you got to go in there and start editing all that audio.
All right. And what about
when I got to go take out all my all of Drab's racial shots at me.
All right. No, that's going to stay in there.
I know.
What about Rom?
Oof.
I honestly
Rom tired.
He's Rom tired. I think our listeners would revolt. Well, Rom is great in small bunches.
Yes, he's great in spurts. But I feel like
usually runs out of steam after about 10 minutes.
That's true too. That's definitely true. I'm with you. I don't think our listeners would like it.
And
they would maybe like it for a one-off episode. Surprise episode, but I feel like, I mean,
it'd be like playing five on five, and
yeah,
he's
trying to pass the rock.
He's taking all the shots.
Yeah, that's exactly what it's like. He's hoisting up threes, and we're sitting there running plays down low.
He's not setting anybody else up.
He's coming across half court and chucking it.
Yeah. Love Rom, but he's good. He's good as a junkie's tertiary character. All right.
What about the newest junkie's tertiary character who sang "Oh Danny Boy" on St. Patrick's Day? What was his name?
All right, his name's Dan
from Burke.
Dan from Burke. He says he loves Bit Season. Now, here's this thing about this Dan guy. This guy calls nonstop, and he's starting to drive me nuts a little bit. Because most people, I will say, stop calling. But this guy calls in and he'll be like, "Drab, I love you, brother. I love you. Valdez, I love you guys. I've been listening for 25 years.
He's got a kind of a smoker's laugh. If he can keep it in his pants, laugh track.
I think he's a I know he's a degenerate.
Uh-huh.
I think he told me, well, I don't want to get into too much of his personal business, but he's at MGM like at 3 o'clock in the morning all the time. Okay. Full blown degenerate.
So he's Rom 2.0.
He's usually drunk when he calls in. He's got too many issues, but he's a possible reoccurring character on the Junkies.
He's in the Junkies farm system for characters.
Right, for his development.
Yeah. All right, what about some sort of female counterpart?
Savannah McCann.
That's kind of what I was hinting at. Her stardom is taking off. We could ride those coattails.
Now, Savannah's younger than us, 25. I mean, so she brings in the younger demographic. I've heard that females really, when they've turned on to the show, that they do like it. So this is, you know, Savannah might fit right in with what we usually talk about.
But she might be too sportsy.
I mean, she loves baseball.
She does love baseball. You know what? Can I give you props?
Why?
Because, I don't know, episode 41 of Bit Season.
Yeah.
You said white women love baseball.
I know.
That's all I notice.
You don't see a lot of, that's been discussed. I'll just leave it at that. But white women do love baseball. And Savannah, all right, the star of the week, did a great job She's fitting in with the junkies.
Yes. I want to compliment Savannah. I thought the whole bit went very well. And Eric was just being, of course he's going to hit a home run, but I feel like Savannah was like that, were like the sprinkles on the sundae. She was the cherry on top.
She went along with it great.
Her interaction, although it was brief, I thought it was funny, and just like her riding was funny. So I felt like she was the cherry on top. When she said, well, number one, when she was like out of breath from pedaling, I found that funny. How she doesn't want to do it again. She loved it, but she doesn't want to do it again. I thought that was a funny line.
Let me ask you this. Why do the junkies think we're stupid?
You know what? That's a very good question.
Why don't they
just trust us?
See our genius at times?
You know, sometimes it's hard to articulate genius, and it's hard to explain genius. You have to just trust that the person is genius.
So on Tuesday, because Savannah's here on Tuesdays and Wednesdays, we brought her in at 9:20, and we had the segment labeled "Savannah McCann can't do this." Blank.
This also was discussed how many weeks beforehand? 3 weeks beforehand?
Yeah, but yeah.
We learned this 3 weeks beforehand when we were just kind of sitting on it, waiting for something dead to happen.
There'd been a lot of commander news and all this kind of stuff with the ownership when we were going to do it. So it kind of bumped it down. And the junkies didn't know anything about it, but Valdez and I knew that we wanted to tease them with this.
Yes.
And because it fit in perfectly with what EB has been bragging about for years on the show.
And we knew in the back of our head, it wasn't going to be bring Savannah in and guess it.
It was a two-part series.
It was a parlay.
Yes.
It was a bit parlay.
It was a parlay.
It's the only parlay we've hit.
It was just a two-gamer.
It was a two-bit parlay. And it's just...
Wasn't it obvious what we were setting up?
That's what it was so crazy. It's like the guys didn't realize what we were trying to get them geared up towards.
So once they found out that she
couldn't ride the bike.
Savannah could not ride a bike. Also, Eric and Jason with the worst guesses I've ever heard.
Can't count to 10 in Spanish, and then
the colorblind. The final clue was most 99% of adults can do this.
Uh-huh.
And Eric thought that 99% of adults can count to 10 in Spanish.
And I think I tried to even tell him more when I said it's something that you learn that you never forget or something like that.
Okay.
And then even after that, those were the guesses. JP shockingly overcompetitive and got it right. And then immediately asked for payment from the other junks.
But JP didn't have it until that final clue either.
That's true, too.
He was saying other things. And then Jason with a terrible guess that she can't see colors.
I think it's crazy that someone can't ride a bike.
I never even knew that. I honestly had never met anybody.
It was shocking to me.
I never met an adult that has admitted that they can't ride a bike.
Yeah, when she told us after the show that one day, I think everyone was pretty much shocked.
Now, I've met people who can't swim.
Oh, yeah.
I would say that's probably like 10% of adults can't swim. But that's just because either you weren't exposed to a pool, you didn't go to a pool when you were young.
Yeah,
and that's something you have to take lessons for. Usually someone has to pay for you to take lessons, or you just have to make it a priority when you're young, or your parents do.
I was just thrown in a pool.
And that doesn't surprise me. Let me guess. Bob Myers threw you in a pool and said, figure it out.
And I think it was my mom.
Okay. You had a pool at your house.
Yeah, though. I had a pool at my house.
So you had to learn. Yeah.
So they literally just put me in, and then one day they took my like little inner tube life vest off when I was a kid, and then just like dragged me around the pool. They dunked me underwater, so I knew what the feeling was when I was dunked underwater. And then I just figured it out on my own. And then I'll never forget. Never forget when I saw Drab swim. We bring that up all the time.
What do you mean? Oh, I swim in laps. That was embarrassing. When Valdez and I were neighbors. I've actually never felt so small in my life. And when I say small, I mean my massive man boobs that I felt like Valdez and everyone was staring at.
You would have been better off if I caught you jacking off.
I've never been so ashamed in my life. It's not anything to be ashamed of. I just felt like the world's biggest loser I went down to the community pool on a Saturday in the middle of summer, and Valdez and all the broskies are hanging out there with a cooler
full of seltzers and tunes, and then all of a sudden, you know who pops up? with his goggles and ski cap, one Dram t-shirt
to swim laps on a Saturday afternoon when literally everybody else at the pool was getting drunk.
Drab Luganus.
Yeah, for sure. I felt so stupid.
I know. We tell that story all the time.
I know. It always makes me laugh.
Just the shock on your face. You think Drab's a pale person in real life?
No,
imagine him getting out of that water.
Hey, that was my midsummer tan. What are you talking about?
Seeing us clanking Coronas together.
You know, I almost drowned in a pool when I was young. I was saved. I would not be here. I was at my brother's friend's house. His name was Alex Lamb. Alex had a pool in his house. He was a rich kid. And so for some reason, my whole family was over there. But I was very young, five maybe. I have this memory of opening the slide. Everybody, maybe 15 people, were watching a movie in the basement, it's at the lower floor. I have a vague memory of opening the sliding door and walking out and swimming in the swimming pool. And
By myself. And how old are you?
Five, six.
Okay.
And getting into the shallow end, and then kind of doggy paddling, or got swept up by the current, I don't know, into the deep end by the swimming pool, and literally drowning.
Swimming
bobbing
pool.
Up and down, thinking this is the final moments of my life.
There's a current in a swimming pool?
No, I don't know. I ended up in the deep end.
Yeah, you're paddling, and then all of a sudden you're in the deep end.
Playing around by myself. Okay. Nobody knew that I snuck out there. And next thing I know, I'm literally sinking to the bottom of the deep end. Nobody knows I'm out there. I'm taking in water, and I have this final, literally this final memory of sinking into the water and seeing the shadows of my brother and Alex Lamb sprinting towards the pool and diving in headfirst and pulling me out of the pool. I seriously should have drowned.
Yeah. Wow.
I mean, I was probably out there for 10, 15 minutes before.
Drab was literally the kid on the Nirvana album.
Well, I had a much bigger sorry. I said I wasn't going to curse. I'm sorry.
Hey, you know what? That was kind of worth it. You know, where's Clary? I need Clary. Hey, do you know what?
How did we get on swimming? I thought we were talking about something else.
When you're talking.
Oh, riding a bike.
All right, real quick.
Yeah.
I just want to, for the record, I think pool basketball is the most elite game that you could ever do in a pool. If you have a pool and you don't have a basketball hoop that is like on the side of it so that when you're in the pool, you can like dunk and shoot hoops.
It's fine. It's a little overrated. No. I'm a big half gainer kind of guy. I love the diving board. I spend my time on the diving board. I'll play a little Marco Polo. I also love
sharks and minnows.
I also like taking a bucket into the pool and then breathing in the bucket. Have you ever done that under the water?
No. Never do the.
It doesn't fill up with water.
Yes.
So you stick your head in.
I understand physics.
Okay. That's a silly feeling. If you've never done that, take a bucket in the pool.
What about the ring game?
What is the ring game?
You have the rings that float to the bottom. They sink to the bottom.
What are you trying to like? And it's then, like it's a horseshoe or something?
No. You throw the rings. You throw the rings in the pool, and then you try to time to see how many rings you can get in one breath. So you swim all around the pool underwater. You got to pick up the rings with your arm.
Oh, all right. Just a little Sonic. It's like Sonic the Hedgehog, but underwater.
Yeah. I don't know. That's what we did in the Dina.
I love holding my breath contest.
Really?
If you want to get Drab sized, so come up to me at a pool and say, hey, you want to have a contest who can hold their breath the longest? I love that challenge. I'm really good. I can hold my breath for over a minute.
You know what my mom used to do in the pool?
What's that?
So when she would get in the pool, you know the jet that it would be on like one side and it would propel the water and just circulate the water and everything before the skimmer? Just there was like a jet.
Right.
And my mom, what she used to do is she used to get in the pool and she used to put her leg by the jet. All right. And she used to say, tell me, this helps get rid of cellulite.
Really? Yeah.
She would have the jet going against her thigh.
Right.
Hey, she was probably rubbing one out.
Right? Because it's your mom, I'm not going to say anything. But we all know what was really going on in there. Hey, for the first first time in a long time today, I was missing having a hot tub because EB was talking about a jacuzzi.
Yeah.
And also, I've been reading a lot of porn stories about jacuzzis.
Porn stories.
Yeah, remember, I get sites for literotica.
Yeah, literotica.
And a lot of literotica happens in the jacuzzi. Okay. So I've been having jacuzzi on my mind recently.
I've had jacuzzi.
And I missed the days of having a hot tub. My parents had one. My parents, when we moved into a house when I was 18, we had one. And actually, I only lived there for a year.
If you had a hot tub in the Dina, you were considered bougie. One of the word the spelling contest.
Right.
You were too highfalutin to hang out with. But I wish I had one.
I always loved when you go over to a house party in high school or college in the summertime and their parents weren't home and then you and all the broskies are sitting in the hot tub bringing
spilling so much jungle juice in there.
Yeah, so much Bush Light in that jacuzzi.
So much yank me, crank me.
I have fond memories of hot tubs.
What's the beer and lemonade drink that you used to make all the time?
Oh, I don't know that one.
Remember?
No.
It was beer with like lemonade and
Arnold Palmer?
No.
I don't know.
I forget. Someone will text us and let us know. Mm-hmm. But getting back to EB.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, EB wanted to make sure that he got his flowers today on the show.
Yeah. He gave us a pre-show meeting telling us that we got to hype him up. You know, and we took 30 minutes to do it.
Yeah.
Number one, why do you think Eric was legitimately excited during the whole learning thing. I think it's because it's not because he taught Savannah how to ride a bike, but I think Eric's excitement came from the vindication. Because think about it. All we do is bust his balls about Carson Wentz. I'm sure
it's been a rough fall and winter for him.
It's been a rough year for Eric.
Uh-huh. He's taken a lot of hits.
Yeah. I mean, he's been knocked down a lot. But finally, Eric landed an uppercut.
It's not how hard you can hit. It's about how hard you can get hit.
Yeah.
And keep moving forward.
Yeah. How hard you can get knocked down and come back up.
Yeah.
But that's why you heard him screaming, "She's riding a bike!
She's riding a bike!
Look at this! She's riding a bike!" All right? Which, by the way, was butt funny. But I feel like all of that excitement isn't directed towards Savannah. It's directed towards
vindication.
Yeah, that I've been talking about this for years and years and years.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, I'm going to show you that it's true. I am a genius.
All right.
It's hard. It's hard to back up what you talk when you talk smack like that all the time. It's really hard.
I think he just got caught up in it. And I will give Eric props.
Well, you were the man. You were the man on the ground.
I was the man on the scene. You were back. You were on the board, making sure that everything was connected. So I'll give Eric has a special talent where he can make, like, only, and I tweeted this last night, only the junkies could have made that segment entertaining. And the other guys did a great job in the studio as well, like feeding them, you know, keeping them going and stuff. But it's a light switch with EB sometimes, right? Like,
yes,
he can be not interested in stuff we're doing sports stuff and he's just one of the guys in here. But when he gets excited about something,
He kind of understood the moment.
Yeah, his radio instincts.
Yeah, they kicked in
for sure. And but I will say this: I was surprised. So I was out there, and I was having a good time, and I thought it was funny. But I got to be honest: I was surprised about the amount of the positive feedback about it.
Well, it's
overwhelming.
No.
People were saying it was the best segment in years.
I know. That was flooring. That floored me.
Right.
But I feel like since you were like man on the street.
Right.
You didn't know how it was like being delivered back here.
Exactly.
And the way that it was being delivered back here, it was so funny because like the video was good. But like it wasn't 1080p quality. It just had this. It had this charm to it.
Yeah, I heard the word charm a lot in the last 24 hours.
Like the charm of Rogers finger, like being over the camera. It wasn't over the camera for like the most crucial moment, but like it would like creep in. It was this like catchy type little.
I understand what you're saying.
Kitschy.
Yeah.
Type of broadcast that was going.
Wasn't it?
It was like
you know that Roger wasn't even supposed to be involved in that.
I know, but
it was a last second thing where I'm connecting all the stuff, all the Comrex here at the radio station.
I didn't think it was going
to
work.
It was having issues. Like we weren't hearing the radio station back in our headphones. So at the last second, I go, Roger, come over to the park with us and be a part of this in case something goes wrong. And lo and behold, something did go wrong. As soon as we got there, it wasn't working. But Roger just added. I love it when Roger's on the air. Roger is like one of our Rat Packers. I don't know. There's not another way to say it. There's this charm about him that he doesn't know what's going on.
He's just kind of oblivious. I've never seen someone who's worked in radio so long. Mm. He's so oblivious to radio itself.
But he's got this in the way I see it, like this theater of the mind about that is what a radio engineer should be. Just like super dorky and just kind of a social misfit, but also he's like super sweet at the same time. He doesn't know what's going on.
kind of has a hint of just cluelessness, but also genius at the same time.
Yeah.
Right.
So you guys don't know this. Like, maybe you've picked up on it, but like Roger, he's here in the morning. He's one of like six people here that early in the morning. And he's always getting his coffee. He's tinkering with everything. Like he's fixing the coffee machine all the time.
The guy could literally make a computer out of stuff around here.
But most of the time he's just talking to himself.
Oh yeah,
he talks to himself. He's muttering. But then he'll start a conversation with you, and you just walk out of the room because the conversation would literally never end, and he just continues talking.
Yeah, you have to end the conversation yourself.
But you don't even know what he's talking about.
And he's not even offended when you walk away.
That's the best part. Yeah, he doesn't even know. Like, he's super sweet. He's such a nice guy, and I love having him here. And I'll be bummed the day he retires.
How clumpy was that grass?
The grass was super clumpy, but I thought it was perfect.
Were you surprised that
because it wasn't that long, but there were just clumps of I don't know.
Were you surprised that Savannah was confident enough to go on the pavement? Because I felt like that's where it really took a turn. Because I felt like that could have had some disaster written on it.
I'll be honest. There's a part of me that thinks that she could ride a bike before this.
Really?
I just don't understand how that's possible. Like, how could you have such a phobia of riding a bike and not knowing how? And thus, Eric was right, just a genius, and that it's all about riding on the grass.
Well, if that's the case, then Savannah's a radio genius.
Or the fact that JP was right, and we all joned on JP, that the Peloton did help.
That is true.
That she knew how to ride, like she could figure it out quickly. Now, also, I saw Eric while we're getting set up. You don't know this.
Oh.
Eric was giving Savannah pointers.
Really?
Like while we're at commercial break, and I saw like her on the bike, and EB had his hand on the back of the bike,
pushing her on the bike.
And I said, "Hey, get away from her! No point. No, don't do this until we get on the air." And he was like, "I'm just talking her through it." And I'm like, "No, you save that for the air.
I know. Don't ruin it.
If she crashes, she crashes."
Yeah.
Now, were you hoping that Savannah was going to crash?
Actually, I kind of wasn't because I felt bad for Savannah. That's why,
mm-hmm.
is because...
But then Eric would have been wrong, which would have been even better.
That's true, too. But I feel like giving him this one, though.
He earned it?
Yeah, he earned it. But like, this is why I wanted it to work, is because I felt bad. So I was talking with Savannah about it when she first admitted that she couldn't ride a bike. And I go, like, oh, when you go to the beach, you don't like rent bicycles and ride on the beach and ride all over the place? And she goes, no, all my friends do, but I just go shopping or get something to eat. And that
hurt you.
That literally like broke me. And I was like, God damn. Like,
she's missing out.
Yeah, she's missing out. It's one of the best things about going down to Hilton Head is riding your bike all over the island.
Yeah, I think, you know, she'd have to go get a bike. She'd have to go.
Oh, do you know what she said?
What?
Do you know what Savannah said after she came back? When she learned how to ride a bike, is that she said her her boyfriend, mm-hmm. her boyfriend was the most excited because he's always wanted to ride bikes with her.
He's so bored. They're sitting in the house. Yeah. And he's trying to go out and do stuff, and she can't go out and have fun activities
with
him.
She said that he texted her and saying, "We have to go. We got to go for a bike ride this weekend." So that's why.
You know what? That's awesome.
That is awesome.
That is great. Are you offended? I always like to ask you when people say best segment in years.
No, because that means we did our job.
We did our jobs. Okay.
So no. Hey, let me ask you a question.
Right.
Were there really people honking their horns?
Yes. Yes.
And going, "You can do this, Savannah."
Yes, there was a guy, a couple of people honked their horns. Now look, there's a lot going on down there, so
yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah, you don't know what they're honking.
Only one person said, "You got this, Savannah."
Hey, that makes me happy.
Mm-hmm. Hey, I got to tell you, we should be doing more events down there.
I know. We got to figure out more.
It was a great space, great weather out there. It was a huge open field that nobody was using. Every once in a while, some dog would come out there and poop.
Hey, this is what I'm thinking.
Okay.
All right. We have Jason, the softball coach.
All right. Like that.
I want Jason to bring his
ace pitcher.
His ace pitcher, his Briarwoods ace pitcher. Right? His Briarwoods, right?
That's Briarwoods, right. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I want to take that stud deep. All right.
Oh, you want to bring Easton down here?
I want to bring my Louisville Slugger, and I want to take that chick yard, just yapping about she's going to be a Tennessee or whatever.
And Jason,
I'm going to drop dingers.
You know what? That's not a bad idea.
Thank you. And we have Jason dressed up as Lou Piniella.
All right. Is Jason going to catch her as well? Rogers the catcher.
That ball, there's no chance Roger can catch that ball.
All right. I like that. I love that bit. We got to do more bits outside. Also, EB's got a talent. EB should be doing man on the street bits.
Yeah, but he's too good for man on the street.
I know. Well, what about when he was interviewing Roger and he was an inch away from his face? Also,
Do you know what the best part about that was?
What?
Is when you first handed the camera to Roger,
uh-huh.
and then Roger is trying to put it on all you guys, uh-huh. and it's pointing right at his face.
What about when I panned over to Roger after we were done, and he's wearing the bicycle helmet, ready for his turn, and I had completely forgotten about that.
Hey, did you? Actually, you probably didn't hear. I told, would you have been smart enough to pretend to hit the trash can?
No, I would have not. That was a great call. Roger, if he had the radio instincts, he should have driven right into the trash can.
Just pretend to like wave and then run into the trash can.
But somehow I liked it that Roger also could ride a bike. Apparently he goes riding all the time with his family. He was a natural.
I didn't know that.
The last thing I wanted to say about it is that when we were walking back, I saw Grant Paulson. Grant was here early yesterday doing something. Now, Grant was driving in, and he said, same thing. Guys, I love that segment. That was amazing. I couldn't stop smiling. He didn't even say laughing. I think he said smiling in my car.
Here's the thing. I think it's because at some point, everyone has that experience with a father figure or their dad or whoever teaching them really to ride
wanted,
a bike.
They really wanted Savannah to learn how to ride a bike. But here's what he didn't watch it on TV.
He just listened.
He heard it on the radio. J.P. Finley also only heard it on the radio, said that he loved it. That's old school. That made me happy. Theater of the mind. It transcended all mediums.
Here, I know what we should do next.
Okay.
All right. We should have couples go all over Washington, D.C. and have sex in mind for beer.
Valdez is trying to get us fired like Opie Anthony got fired.
All right. What do you think?
I like it. I'm all for out-of-studio bits. We definitely got to be doing more of that stuff. We don't take advantage of being in the city down here enough.
We don't.
There's all kinds of characters out there.
There are.
You know what I mean?
There are a lot of characters. I was thinking about Desmond for a second.
No, me and Desmond are on the outs.
Oh.
Desmond is the homeless guy that's been mentioned on the show many times. It's also been pointed out that Drab
is an enabler.
And as always, I'm always talking to him. Like this guy, he was talking to me every day, like about my family, my weekend. And we haven't talked in 2 weeks.
Ooh.
And do you want to know why I haven't talked to him?
Of course I do.
I got tired of him asking me for money. The homeless guy was asking me for money too much, and I told him I didn't appreciate it.
So you got to dial it back.
Well, it was borderline harassment, and because for quite a while, I'd give him money every once in a while, and then he'd be nice for like a couple weeks, and then he'd say something. But then he was asking me like every day, saying he basically said, "Where's my money?" I'm like, dude,
that is very aggressive.
It was off-putting.
Yeah.
So I said, dude,
when I have money,
I'll give you some. If I have extra money to give you, I'm more than happy to give it to you.
We don't have very much extra money.
You know, I got a family. I barely pay my bills as it is.
Yeah, we're just getting by.
And I said, if I got a couple bucks in my pocket, I'll definitely give it to you. But honestly, I don't ever have cash. And whenever I do, I save it for you. And then he asked me again the next day or something. And I said, you know what? I said, I'm taking a break.
Do you know what?
Now it's awkward, though.
I've never been that bold to do that. But I've never hooked him because it was very off-putting when he was peeing behind a roadblock thing.
Well, he's got,
I know, but it was very, I go, I don't want to touch his hand.
Well, I'm not touching his hand either, but he's defacing property. You don't like that?
I don't like that.
Well, I think he's got, bigger issues.
Yes, he has issues.
But the homeless guy also has a house and a wife. So it might be just some big scam. It is a big scam, I'm sure. But we're on the outs. All right. So one of the other things that Valdez that I wanted to talk to you about before we got out of here today is Larsa Pippen.
Ooh, okay.
Also, I think JP is obsessed with her. He said how many times?
Is he more obsessed with Larsa or Lamar?
No, JP never compliments other women. I think he's got a crush on Larsa Pippen.
What do you mean he never compliments other women?
He never says how other women are hot or anything like that. Very seldom. Okay, I want you to be on this. All right. He's more of like honoring his wife. Okay. He's all about that.
She's on the pedestal.
He puts his wife on the pedestal. He's also more conservative than the rest of us on his bodiness. Bowdiness. He never says, but he said like four times in that segment how hot she was. And then I was just imagining
JP poning Larsa.
Yeah, I was imagining that for some reason and then getting a little jealous.
His machismo bang.
I don't know. He definitely has a crush on Larsa Pippen.
I've never noticed that.
Yeah. So next time she comes up.
I do notice he does have like a lot of Larsa Pippen stories.
Yes. Right.
And Lamar Jackson stories. I know that. Do you want to know my theory?
What's going on with you? You are annoyed by the Lamar Jackson stories.
I'm not annoyed. But JP really does shoehorn Lamar Jackson. We're talking to Evan Washburn about the NCAA tournament, and JP asked him about Lamar Jackson.
Yeah.
Do you want to know my theory?
Okay.
This is my theory of the week.
Yeah, I'd love to know your theory.
All right. My theory is JP is a self-admitted Colts fan, right?
Yeah, okay.
We all know this.
So why would you?
JP's a Colts fan.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Dylan Flame is a newly adjusted Ravens fan. Why is Dylan Flame a Ravens fan now? Because Dylan loves Lamar Jackson. And JP loves the idea of his Colts acquiring Lamar Jackson so that he and his son Dylan can be the super fans together.
Oh, you mean like Dylan turns his back on the Ravens because
of
Colts
fans? Dylan will follow Lamar Jackson to the Colts, and then there's father-son Colts bonding. Boom!
But what happens if it could tear them apart, though?
What do you mean?
Like, no, Dylan no, 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 Flame no. is so angry that the Colts stole
no, no,
him
no,
away.
No. Dylan Flame... newcomer Ravens fan only because of Lamar.
Okay. Right. He'll be gone in two seasons.
Oh yeah. He'll be gone by two seasons.
That's not the theory I have. The theory I have is
a bit more
you don't
serious.
Like my, you don't like my theory?
No, your theory is a good theory.
I think there's layers to that.
No, I think JP's theory is probably about racist owners trying to keep, you know, the player down or something.
That's not as fun as mine.
Right.
Hey, where did do you think I get a kick out of JP telling us about Dylan's driving. I don't know why, but I really like it.
what about the fact that that Dylan's doing a good job? He's being careful, and then JP turns it in. Yeah. Hurry up! You got to beat your last lap.
come on, Grandma. I like the idea that JP is like Days of Thunder clocking on
the most JP thing ever.
I know.
Trying to get Dylan Flame to beat his previous lap score in the parking lot. Timing him on a stopwatch.
But for some reason, I'm getting a kick out of that. I really like the updates, the driving updates, because also I get a kick out of nostalgia, and it just makes me think about my time when I first started driving. That's all.
Those are the good old days, learning to drive. I always think I never see 16-year-olds or teenagers driving anymore.
Do you know what I don't?
Do you?
Whenever I see the rookie driver bumper sticker,
student driver, please be patient,
or rookie driver, student driver, I think it's a 16-year-old. But then I look over and it's like a grandma.
Well, I think a lot of that is because
they're sharing cars.
No. I think a lot of it is because we have so many immigrants.
Oh,
and so I think a lot of times they're, and this is just my perspective, they're either Indians or Asians that are probably newer to this country.
They're
family members
sense.
That have come over, and they're learning to drive in America and pass our laws and all that.
Hey, did you ever have to drive with a rookie driver sticker?
No.
Do you know my parents?
They made you put that on your car?
No. They tried to do it with my brother when my brother first started driving.
Mm-hmm.
He rebelled.
Oh, thank God.
He said, no.
What bumper stickers did you have on your car?
I was classy. I didn't have a bumper sticker.
Oh, you didn't?
Except I had a Joe Flacco 5 at some point.
Oh, yeah. No, that wasn't when you were a teenager. That was like 5 years ago, Valdez.
No, that's about when I was 25.
Hey, that's embarrassing because I remember that.
No, it was kind of a bit.
No, it wasn't.
It was a bit.
I would see that car parked all the time in Park Fairfax with that number 5 there. That wasn't that long ago.
That was not in Park Fair.
Yes, it was.
No, it wasn't. No, it was not.
Yes, it was.
I had that when I was in my flop house in Vienna.
No, Valdez, I barely even knew you then.
I had that when we were at the radio station in Fairfax. That's how long ago it was. You're trying to stir up controversy. No, I didn't have any bumper stickers. I get I would put this is if I had one, I would put an OC bumper sticker for Ocean City. You know how people have
I don't like
Do you have a babies on board, twins on board sticker?
No, I hate those. They infuriate me. In fact, my favorite bumper sticker, it says, "No baby on board, crash into me."
Okay.
Because the idea that someone is going to not crash into you because you have an infant or a toddler in the car is so stupid. Nobody's trying to crash into you.
Do you know what else is stupid? The bumper sticker is stupid.
What?
Is if you have like a whole strand of Grateful Dead bears.
Oh, yeah. That.
Yeah.
You want to know what lame? You want to know why I didn't get any action in high school? Or not enough action?
Because you had a coexist bumper sticker?
No. My buddy Sven Lloyd had one of those, though. I missed that guy. My senior year of high school, I wasn't even into this. I had a George W. Bush bumper sticker on my car.
Bush Cheney.
Yeah. What a loser. What an idiot. What? I'm
you
so stupid.
No, I know. Because you like going around saying, hey, I'm all for Bush.
No, because I was, for some reason, I think it was because I was part of like I went to radio school my senior year. So I was part of a media class and I got invited. What year did Bush run for president? 2000?
2000, yes.
So I was a senior in high school, beginning of my senior year, that fall. I got invited to, like, he came to town. George Bush. He came to town and gave a speech. It was like on CNN. And I was one of the students standing in the background.
And I met George Bush, this was when he was governor, and I gave him a dollar bill. He signed the dollar bill and I got a bumper sticker. And for some reason, I was so excited that I met like the president.
Yeah. Or a nominee.
Yeah. I put that dumb thing on my car. I doubt I even voted.
Gorilla glue on it. Couldn't get it off.
I was just in high school and everyone's got like,
Have you ever seen the bumper sticker? I'd rather be driving a Titleist.
No, but it makes me laugh. I like it.
Well, what about...
Are those common at the golf course, at the country club?
Usually the drunk assistant pro has it on his Mazda Miata. What about my other car is a Millennium Falcon?
I've seen that one. Those are for dorks.
Yo, that's coming from the Bush Cheney guy.
I know it's embarrassing. I wish I could. If I could go back to high school, I'd fix a lot of things about myself, and that being one of them. Don't you wish that you could just tell yourself how to get girls back in high school, like hot girls?
Easy. I know what that subtle jab's about. I mean, come on. That wasn't very subtle.
Valdez got girls in high school. Yeah. He was having sex at 13. He was not having sex at 13. All right, 15. I'm talking about the prom queen.
Okay.
You know? And I'm fantasizing.
That's it. Trapp's favorite movie is 17 Again.
I do love those Freaky Friday type movies. I'm always a sucker for those.
Because it scratches that itch that we're all thinking about but never say.
Yeah. Right. All right, guys. Hey, before we get out of here, we want to thank our sponsor, our man Mike from Don't Sleep
Energy. Don't sleep on the boys from Bit Season. We bring you this podcast, but we also carry the junkies every morning. How do we muster up all the hype needed to pull this off and give you great stunts like Savannah riding a bicycle? It's Don't Sleep Energy Drink, the official energy drink of Bit Season. Grab some yourself at don'tsleepenergy.com and check them all out on social media at Don't Sleep Energy, at Don't Sleep Energy. Don't Sleep contains premium ingredients, including caffeine, taurine, B group vitamins. Use the promo code BITTIES. That's promo code BITTIES for 10% off every order at don'tsleepenergy.com. You can also go to their Amazon store. If you type in Don't Sleep Energy Drink in Amazon, you'll see it pop up there. I know the sugar free is selling like hotcakes. So please,
Mike,
be patient.
We need a refill. We ran out of sugar-free yesterday.
The sugar-free is basically crack.
It's very
good. I don't know if that's a good endorsement, but
It's a Bit Season official endorsement.
Yeah.
It's like crack.
If you want to try crack, try Don't Sleep Energy Drink, sugar-free edition. But anyways, thank you, Mike. Thank you, Drab, for episode 77, and we will catch you guys next week.
All right, guys, have a great weekend. Talk to you later.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Donor-advised funds from DAF Giving 360. Your clients can donate cash, publicly traded securities, or appreciated assets like real estate. It's a simple, tax-smart way to give. Learn more at dafgiving360.org/advisors.